Nazir Perek Vav Mishnah Test 6-9. The Mishnah continues to really wrap up the topic of the Tiglachas HaTahara, the concluding procedure for the Nazir. And really the focus of our Mishnah is not just the conclusion of the process, but also to answer the question, at what point can the Nazir resume normal life and become Tamei for Mesim and drink wine, etc.? Does he need to wait till the final step of the entire procedure or earlier on? Now, just to understand this Mishnah, you have to understand there really are a few fundamental differences between the shlamim that is brought by the Nazir and the generic shlamim. So first of all, we said before that there's a timing difference. When it comes to regular shlamim, the time in which one must eat that shlamim meat for regular shlamim is 2 days and the night in between. So if today is, you know, Yom Rishon, Sunday afternoon, you'd have for normal shlamim all of today through tonight and until the end of Yom Sheni, until nightfall on, I'll call it Yom Sheni, you know, Monday evening. In contrast, when it comes to the Nazir's shlamim, he only has the day that he brings it, so Yom Rishon, the rest of Yom Rishon, and the rest of the night that follows, or until Chatzos, till midnight, Midr Rabbanan. So it's a much shorter period. The second big difference is that a normal shlamim is not accompanied by any bread, but the Nazir shlamim has two different types of breads that are brought with it. Don't confuse this with the Toda, which is also kind of shlam, but has four types of bread. There are just two when it comes to Nazir. I'm setting the shlamim, like the Toda, aside. When it comes to the Nazir shlamim, there are two types of breads, if you will. They're both matzos, meaning they're unleavened bread, but one is referred to as a challah, and it's balula b'shemen, and it's mixed with oil in the dough with the solus, the fine flour, but then baked like sort of kind of like you could imagine sort of having a consistency a little bit like a Sephardic matzos, if you will. It's unrisen, but it's not like a hard cracker. And then you have the rakikin, the matzos rakikin, which are basically crackers, probably very similar to like our Ashkenazi matzahs, if you will, and those aren't mixed with oil in the dough, but they're meshuchos b'shemen, there's oil smeared on the outside. So the Nazir brings a total of 20 loaves of bread, 10 of each of those two types, fine in total, and they're put in a sal, in a basket, and they're brought. Now, the third big difference is that when it comes to a normal shlamim, the gifts that are given to the Kohen are the chazeh and the shok. Chazeh is like the chest, the shok is the right hind leg, like the shank. Now, don't get confused. When it comes to normal chulin, regular animals, the gift to the Kohen is the zroa l'chayayim and keva. That's the front right leg, that's the zroa. L'chayayim is the cheeks and the tongue, and the keva is one of the four stomachs, the abmasim. That's not relevant here. We're talking about a regular shlamim, where it's the chazeh and shok, the hind, right hindquarter, and the chest and throat. When it comes to the shlamim that's brought by the Nazir, in addition, there's what's called the zroa b'shela, as the pasuk refers to it. Zroa is a foreleg, a front leg of the right side of the animal. It's the right front leg is the zroa, and it's b'shela. It's cooked. It's boiled in a pot. And we saw that a moment ago in the previous Mishnah. The hair goes under the pot and so on. Okay. Now, when a shlamim is brought, there's always a tenufa. Tenufa is a waving, and basically what happens is certain parts of the shlamim end up in the hands of the balim, the owner of the shlamim. The Kohen puts his hands to support, like beneath those hands, and then they wave it. Tenufa means waving. They wave these sacrificial parts, essentially in the six directions, same as a lulav. That's true also by the Nazir. He also has a tenufa, but what goes in his hands are not just the usual items, which are the emurim. The emurim are the sacrificial parts that are from every kind of zevach, every kind of animal sacrifice, has the same emurim that are burned on the mizbeach, and no one ever eats them. The emurim base is the chelev, that does the internal fats around the abdominal fats and, you know, visceral fats, as well as you have the two kidneys, the diaphragm, and the yoseras hakavod, like the lobe of the liver. So that always goes on his hands, as well as the chazeh and shok, the chest and right hind leg also goes in the arms of the bilum, the offer of the shlamim, when they're waved. But in addition, when it comes to the nazir's shlamim, we add the zroah b'shela, the right foreleg that's boiled, that's going to the kohen, and you also add these one of each of the two types of breads, the rekikin and the chalas matzos, the other kind of whatever it is, and then he waves all those together. Okay? So those are three big differences between a shlamim of a regular offering and the shlamim of the nazir. Again, the time frame, the loaves of bread, and what's included in the tanufa, the waving with the zroah b'shela. Okay, so the question is, at what point can now the nazir once again resume normal life? So the mission here says, Haya mevashel esa shlamim o shulkan. So they would cook the shlamim in the cauldron, specifically after they slaughter the shlamim animal, they'd remove the emurim, they'd remove the chaza and shok. Those wouldn't be boiled in the pot. It's a machlokas tanaim, the halacha, the Rambam paskins, is the rest of the animal, including not just the zroah, but the rest of the animal also. It's all boiled, and then the zroah is removed after it's been cooked. It's mevashel, is a regular boiling. Shalika, learns the Bar Tanura, is overcooking, if you will, so it comes like kind of soggy and limp. So the point here is, ha'imavashla sashlamim, whether he does the normal amount of boiling for appropriate for cooking a shlamim, o shulkan, or if he overboils it, if you will, ha'kohen notel esa zroa b'shela, the kohen takes that boiled, cooked foreleg of the shlamim, mina ayil, from the ram, v'chalas matzah achas mina sal, and one of the chalas matzah, one of the loaves, if you will, unleavened loaves from the basket, urakika matzah achas, and also rakik matzah achas, and also one of the crackers of matzah. V'nosen al kapi a nazir, he puts it on the hands of the nazir. The Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning there should be a murim and a chaz and a shok as well in his hands. It just talks about the special additional parts that are relevant to a nazir's offering, and then all of those things together, umenifan. He, the bilum with the Kohen's hands beneath his hands, the bilum meaning the nazir, waves in the six directions, v'achar kach, and after that, meaning we're done with everything, hutar nazir lishtos yan ulitama lemesim, at that point, the nazir is allowed to return to normal life, drinking wine and becoming tamei tamesim, meaning all of the steps have to be done, so the hair cutting, the karbanos, and the tenufa all required. That's Tanakama Shita, and that's basically the halacha. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, he's much more lenient. He learns out, really, it's a limud from a gezeira shava. I'll tell you the limud in a second, but the Mishnah says inside, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kevan shenizrak alav echad min adamim. Rabbi Shimon holds, once blood from any one of the three karbanos make it to the mizbeach, at that point, hutter ha-nazir lishtos bayayin l'tam l'mesim, the nazir is totally over, and he can go along with the normal life. No need to wait till the last step. Even the first of the offerings is enough. Rabbi Shimon learns that out basically from a gezeira shava, because this word achar appears in two places. It says v'achar yishta nazir yain, and after that, I'll call it, the nazir is allowed to resume drinking wine, etc. And also it says v'nasim al kapei nazir achar his galcho es nizro. So also he puts his hands. The Kohen puts his hands under the nazir after the hair cutting. So he learns out, just as the word achar applies after this single unusual act of the hair cutting, which is required for the waving, so too there's only a single act required before he can drink wine. And that single act is the act of getting blood from one of the three korbanos on the walls of the Mizbeach. Now the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Shimon, meaning he says that no need to do the waving, even any of the three bloods reaching the Mizbeach is sufficient. However, the Rambam says, like Rabbi Shimon. The Rambam does have a peculiar requirement that he has to wait, the Nazir has to wait until nightfall, Harav Shemesh, before and after only an evening passes. At that point, he can once again resume normal life. It's not clear at all where the Rambam gets that from, why he says there has to be a further wait till nightfall, not just simply getting the blood to the Mizbeach.